Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Wednesday. I still can't believe how many topics there are. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. It's Jersey Mike's Day. They'll feed us today as they do on Wednesday. It's great to have you in. Joy Taylor is joining us. I am going to defend Tom Brady righteously today. I can always lead with Brady, right? But
yeah, we can always lead with Brady.
Giselle is starting to get under my skin.
Oh, okay. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. What is it about women not letting us have fun?
Oh, okay.
I mean, life is just...
I mean, you can have all the fun you want.
So, Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl. He's on James Corden.
Right.
Funny talk show guy. And he's on the show, and James Corden asks him about right after he won the Super Bowl, and here's Brady.
All of a sudden, I see my oldest son run over to me. Dad, you know, and I gave him a big hug. I saw my two little ones, and all of a sudden, I saw my wife, and I gave her a big hug. And just as I did it, she says, "What more do you have to prove?"
It's not about that. Let me speak for guys a little. It's not about that. Some of it's just it's fun to hang out with guys and laughs and camaraderie. When all these guys retire, they all hate practice. You know what they miss? Just to laugh with other funny alpha males and inappropriate, stupid guys in the locker room. And we all got a little meathead in us. It's not about proving stuff. Giselle's going to model until, you know, in her 60s or 70s. What does she have to prove? Is she going to get more beautiful? I don't know. She just likes doing it. It's fun. It's fun to feel good about yourself. You know, here's something that I talked about briefly yesterday. It's so coincidental. This was a topic. 24 hours in a day, you sleep 8. That means there's 16 hours left in the day to do stuff. And remember, if you're a successful athlete, you're wealthy. And if you're wealthy, wealthy people don't have to do the mindless crap you and I do to fill out their day. Yesterday, Greg Tuohy, producer on my show, had a flat tire, had to go to 3 tire stores, still couldn't get it fixed, wasted 2.5 hours. I was booking airline flights, I'm on Delta.com, I'm on the phone listening, wasted 95 minutes of my life. Hey, Brady's not doing that. James Harden's not doing that. Kevin Durant's not doing that. LeBron's not doing that. They got a staff. From the time the season ends to the time camp starts is 5 months. He's got 6 homes, a private jet, and a staff. That's 16 hours a day. You can be a great dad and a great family man as a professional athlete. And you can be a great professional athlete. You can do both at the same time. Now, if you're a CEO, I always say, best jobs in the world are great athletes. It's not a CEO. It's not Elon Musk. Elon Musk is on the clock every day. A great surgeon's on the clock every day. A great attorney's on the clock every day. A CEO for our company, on the clock every day. Pro athletes get time off. They get time off. They get more free stuff than other rich people. Hey, Tom Brady didn't pay for anything. They have free stuff all the time. So this idea that you can be a great athlete or you can be a great family person, he's got 16 hours a day. And by the way, by the time your kids get to be 14, they don't want to hang out with you all day anyway. Did you want to hang out with your parents when you were 14 and 15? I didn't. What is this rush to get Brady out of football? What's this rush to get athletes out of football? Peyton Manning retired. He is so bored. He's doing a comedy show on ESPN Plus and another show where he watches film. He's bored out of his mind. How many rounds of golf can you do? Nobody's telling Meryl Streep she's got to retire. Nobody's telling Hanks or Denzel they got to retire. In fact, I went to the top 5 grossing bands of 2019. Elton John, mid-70s, Metallica, they're around, Rolling Stones. What? Nobody's telling them to retire. You can be a great athlete, and you can be a great family guy. It's not just about what do you need to prove. That's part of it. You like to prove people wrong. I like to prove people wrong. I had a lot of doubters. Joey and I bounced around the country. We've had critics and doubters. It's kind of fun to stick it to them. But in the end, this is fun. We're off at noon. You get paid well. You're off at noon. You're never going to get this camaraderie back. When I retire, I'm not going to get to sit in a room for 2 hours. I've said this before. I like creating the show as much as I like doing the show. I just like being curious and getting ideas and building little rants. So, I mean, Giselle's great and everything, but can we slow down on this? Tom Brady's also a guy. Philip Rivers has a little bit of this in him. He likes practice. Brady's into football practice. Most guys aren't. It's tedious. I briefly played high school football. Football practice is hard. It's wet. I grew up on the coast of Washington. It's wet. You get hit. It's just awful. Of course, I was in small high school showers, and it was, you know, not great facilities. But football practice is generally no fun, and Brady loves football practice. So I don't understand the rush. He's got 16 hours a day after sleep. How long can you jet ski? How many times can you ride a horse in Costa Rica? Football's fun. And you know when it's really fun? When you're winning Super Bowls. Don't give it up. My theory on life. Find stuff that makes you happy and do it over and over and over and over again. And that's a great life. I tell my kids all the time, what makes you happy? My son loves tech. Do tech a lot. Hang out with people who talk tech. I hear him on his little computer upstairs laughing all the time. His little buddies. They can't be together during the pandemic, but they're just talking about the silliest stuff, and I don't get any of it, and it's silly to me, and it's tech stuff. It makes him happy. So do it over and over and over again. Tom Brady, I mean, he knocked down a beer there. He got a little drunk, went a little sideways, off the rails, but that's not who he is. Who he is a family guy and a football guy, and there's time for both. Okay, so J.J. Watt, as predicted, has acknowledged that a big reason he went to Arizona was lifestyle. But one of the other reasons J.J. Watt went to Arizona was Kyler Murray, the quarterback. And J.J. Watt said as much yesterday.
He's been a winner at every stage of his life. And that's not a coincidence. You're a winner because of the way that you work and because of the aura that you give off and because of the talent that you have. And I think that he has all of those things, and he's going to continue to win and continue to have success. And that's a part of the reason that I'm here. I told him yesterday in a text, I said, I'm here because I believe in you. And so I'm here. You have to have a quarterback in this league to have a chance, and he's our guy, and I'm looking forward to going out there and playing with him.
It's interesting, when you look at the passing stats, first year to second year, Kyler Murray improved a little bit. And it reminds me of my phone bill. I have a phone bill that's $800 to $900 a month, and that seems outrageous. And for almost all of my life, that was outrageous. But then phones changed. And now my Rolodex is on my phone, my alarm clock's on my phone. All six kids have a phone I pay for. Wife's got a phone. I've got a phone. I book travel on my phone. My calendar's on my phone. I buy food on my phone. I order Christmas presents on my phone. So $900 for my phone bill used to be ridiculous. Now it's a steal. That's all I pay to do all that in my phone. That's Kyler Murray. Don't look at his quarterback stats. You have to look at what he provides that other quarterbacks can't and never did. If you look at his quarterback stats, they barely went up. But you know when up? Wins. 5-10-1 to 8-8. You know when up? His rushing yards and touchdowns, 40%. He went from 24 touchdowns, total touchdowns, to 37. Seventh best in the NFL. The other six ahead of him are all great quarterbacks. The six ahead of him are Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Brady, Russell Wilson, Mahomes, Tannehill, and then Kyler Murray. He is a non-traditional quarterback. And my phone bill now isn't like my phone bill for the first 50 years of my life. In the last 7-8 years, I do so much with my phone, I feel like I'm stealing it for under $1,000 a month. It's everything. It's my guest booker and my calendar, and it's my FaceTime. I was telling Joy the other day, outside of the television, do you understand the value I get on FaceTime? I talk to my kids every single day right next to me. Everything's on my phone. I buy food. I buy clothes. I book vacation. I do everything on my phone. I watch movies when I fly on my phone. It's my television. It's my computer. It's everything. And so when you look at this kid, don't look at just the passing stuff. In the NFL history, the league history, there's two quarterbacks who have had 25 passing touchdowns and 10-plus rushing touchdowns. He's one of them. He's a completely non-traditional quarterback, and I agree with J.J. Watt. You can win a Super Bowl with Kyler Murray. You can. Don't look at the passing stats. That's not what he's about. That's not just what he's about. There's another dimension that's probably 40% of his game that virtually nobody else in league history can provide. Throw it and run it. He can do it with anybody ever in this league. All right, so, you know, it's funny. I like the NBA and stuff, but sometimes I always make fun of Slam Magazine. The guys that are on the cover of Slam Magazine don't necessarily win games. They sell magazines. It's the same thing you ever see, like People Magazine. I don't watch. Right? Sometimes I go to the grocery store and I see People Magazine. You know who's never on the cover of People Magazine? The great actors. You never see Ed Norton or Don Cheadle on the cover of People Magazine. It's always bad actors who can sell magazines but can't act. I never see Mark Ruffalo. He's never on the cover of People Magazine. Julia Roberts occasionally was. Her life got controversial for about an hour. I don't see her on it much either. But it's always like Lindsay Lohan. He's on there all the time. And my takeaway is, it's the same thing in the NBA. There's a player in the NBA. You're never going to put him and sell a magazine. He's never good on highlights. He's never captivating. He's not any good on YouTube. But take LeBron out. He is the most invaluable player in the NBA and has been 4 years. Talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Save big on your water and energy bills with Navien tankless water heaters. Spa-like comfort. Endless hot water. Navien makes it easy to go tankless. Tanklessmadesimple.com. Tanklessmadesimple.com. So, Nick Wright today. So, I watched the Lakers-Suns game last night. Devin Booker got thrown out, which usually for Phoenix last year would have meant an automatic loss, and yet they beat the Lakers. That's what now Phoenix does all the time because Chris Paul showed up. Chris Paul, after LeBron James, is the single most influential player in the NBA. I know he's not cool or lit. He's not even likable. And I love him. He's not even likable. He's not vertical, mid-range guy. Phoenix hasn't made the playoffs in 11 years. The last three pre-CP3 years, they were the worst team in the West, 74 and 163. Chris Paul arrives. They now are second in the West with the same roster. Last night, Devin Booker got thrown out. DeAndre Ayton said Chris Paul took over the huddles. Here's what followed.
CP is a guy who leads vocally. He's always honest, showing us the little things on how to win, the small details that count, especially today's game. Losing D-Book. He sat us down in the huddle and made sure we only have to do winning plays. And, you know, there's no mistakes. And, you know, when the game's junky like this, you know, just to keep our head. And, you know, us as young players, we just want to listen. And, you know, it's contagious the way how he approached the game. So, you know, it's a blessing.
Chris Paul joins your team, you win. He leaves, you lose. Only other player you can say that about in the NBA, only other player is LeBron James. Oklahoma City got rid of him because they were trying to tank, and he made them win too much. He's the anti-Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine is vertical and flashy and hits threes in bunches and gets hot and is streaky and is a blast to watch. and his winning percentage is 31%, lowest in the league for a player with 300 games. Zach may be the greatest guy in the world. Never makes anybody better. 2 weeks ago, rookie Anthony Edwards had a filthy dunk on the baseline. Plays for the T-Wolves. Twitter exploded. Oh my God, that's unbelievable. You know what else was unbelievable? Anthony Edwards went 0 for 7 in that game on threes, 3 for 14 from the floor, and a plus minus of negative 13. That's also pretty unbelievable. But hey, he was cool. Chris Paul's never cool. When he was with Blake Griffin, all I heard for years was, he is holding Blake Griffin down. Since the divorce, Blake Griffin has not won a playoff game. Chris Paul's won 20. But he doesn't sell any issues of Slam Magazine. I'm not sure he can dunk. There's a real John Stockton quality to him. He's sort of annoying. He's not always likable. He's kind of snarky and snarly at times. He is Stockton, who I think's the third or fourth best point guard. Magic's best. After that, we can argue about all of them. But I love Chris Paul. I loved him at Wake Forest. I loved him with the Clippers. I think he's as smart as anybody in the NBA. Not a shock. Many say his best friend in the league is LeBron James. He's not as big or as strong, not as talented, but Chris Paul can be on the cover of my magazines. Ed Norton's not going to be on People, either is Don Cheadle, because they have, you know, their act together. So does Chris Paul. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
The Bears only have Nick Foles under contract at the quarterback position going into the 2021 season.
It's embarrassing.
And he's reportedly in the mix to be the starter, but GM Ryan Pace says the team is considering all of their options.
Right now for us, everything's on the table in regard to the quarterback situation. And honestly, that includes players on our current roster. That includes free agency, trade, the draft, and a combination of all those. So we have a plan in place, and now it's about executing that plan.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. They haven't figured the quarterback out since Sid Luckman. I'm not going to hold my breath.
They have the 20th pick in the draft. So that's not really an ideal position to be taking a quarterback at.
It's a terrible. Because Mac Jones, who I don't think is going to be a big hit, but he'll be gone by like 12, 13.
They're going to have to be aggressive and move up. They have 6 total picks in the draft. So if they want a quarterback at the high end of the draft, they're going to have to do a lot to move up. The problem is, you know, we talk about this all the time. At the beginning of the season, we were like, this is the year. There's not going to be any team that needs a quarterback. And then by the end of the season, there's like 12 who are in the mix.
I've said this before. I've never figured out Wisconsin football. Wisconsin football has been great for 30 years. They just had a great program. They can never get the quarterback right. It was like Russell Wilson 1 year. And I'm like, how can Wisconsin not have a 5-star quarterback every year? And I say the same thing about the Bears. How can you be in this magnificent American city? You're in one of the great rivalries. You have a lot of money. It's a great place to live. A little cold in the winter. But, and you can never, they haven't had a quarterback. They don't get the quarterback right ever except Sid Luckman. That's like 70 years.
I mean, you could say the same about the Dolphins.
Yeah, but I mean, but they had it right, by the way.
They had it right for a long time.
For 20 years in the 70s and 80s.
But
it's been a struggle
it's
since.
It's been a struggle
Same with
since.
Denver a little bit. They had Jake Plummer, was pretty interesting. Peyton Manning was darn good.
I mean, like moments. I don't know. It's an unfortunate position to never be able to get right. You know, if you're the Patriots, I'd prefer to not be able to draft a wide receiver over not being able to figure out what the quarterback position. Although I think that the all-time outlier, lucky, taking Tom Brady in the 6th round, he turns out to be the greatest quarterback of all time. But I don't know what the Bears can do outside of a trade. I mean, if I'm the Bears, aren't you just going all in to try and get Sam Darnold at this point?
I'm just going to say this right now. The last segment of today's show is going to be one of my favorites.
Okay.
Because I'm going to take every team that's been in a quarterback rumor situation. There's like 13. And I'm going to tell you, Labor Day, who's the starting quarterback? And you'll guess where I'm going to go with Chicago. I'm going to take everybody. I'm going to take Seattle, Dallas. I'm going to take the Niners. I'm going to take, you know, obviously the Jets and the Jets. I'm going to predict. I'm going to put it out there today. Today is my thing. This is who is starting. Because I don't like doing mock drafts with trades in them.
Right.
Okay, I refuse to do that.
It gets too crazy.
It's nonsense. I'm not going to go in there and just make stuff up. So when I said Kyle Pitts is going second to the Jets, I know he's not, because they're going to either trade the pick and move down. But it's like, I'm not going to do, but today, officially, I'm going to circumvent that. I'm going to predict the 13 teams that may have a new quarterback, who will they have? And I'll give you one tease. Bears will have Nick Foles.
And it's, the problem is the separation between the great quarterbacks and average quarterbacks has widened, and the need for a great, competent quarterback has accelerated. And you saw that in the Super Bowl this year. Who was in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
The greatest quarterback
Young
ever.
Young quarterback.
And Patrick Mahomes, who everyone pretty much agrees is the greatest player in the league. You need a great quarterback. So Baker Mayfield showed some growth in his third NFL season. It was also his first with head coach Kevin Stefanski, who is expecting even more from Baker as he continues to get comfortable in the offense.
I would just tell you, I know he can continue to get better. He's another person that is eager to get better. You know, he's chomping at the bit. And when he walks in this building or we virtually see him next, we'll make sure that we outline some things that he can improve upon. But I think you all know this about Baker. He works really, really hard at his craft. And I think that's something when you do that, you got a chance.
I'm very excited about the future of the Browns.
So his numbers last year were 3,500 passing yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 picks, 63% completion percentage. That is his ceiling. I wish we'd stop. Now, that was with the best offensive line in the NFL, the best running back duo, and going 8-0 in your out-of-division games. Because they played the crappy NFC East and the weird and goofy AFC South. This year, they play Mahomes' division.
But you don't think they'll win the division this year?
No.
No?
It's not a shot.
I think it's between the Browns and the Ravens.
I'm going to have a little dark horse team this year in the NFL.
I'm saying for their division.
I know what you're saying. Hey, all the Cleveland people who hate me, can you at least admit this? Uncle Colin's been right for 3 straight years on all this crap.
You have.
I have not missed on anything.
You have.
And I'm not missing on this one.
Okay.
Feel really good about it. I'm not banging on Baker. I always said Baker's a franchise quarterback. I just said his ceiling is slightly better than Case Keenum. And if you look at Baker's numbers last year, they're not paying Baker anything. Best O-line, best running backs, easy schedule. Those numbers are exactly Case Keenum's best year. And he's better than Case, but not by a mile.
So James Harden returns to Houston tonight for the first time since being traded by the Nets.
Woo.
And despite the shaky ending to his time with the Rockets, he hopes the fans will give him a warm welcome back.
Should.
He said, I hope I'm received with love, the love and appreciation that I've given to that city and that I still give to that city. I'm hoping that the favor can be returned.
Should be.
Now, I'm reading this story and I'm like, wait a minute. We're still in a pandemic. So what are we talking about fans? But there's fans. They're allowing 25% capacity at Toyota Center, which... like, actually kind of, it, in a weird way, it made me happy. I'm like, oh, okay, so if there are fans that want to cheer or boo, they're actually going to be there to do that. Because this wouldn't even be a story otherwise.
I don't know why.
So it'll be roughly around 4,500 fans there.
Yeah, I mean, like, would I boo Deshaun Watson in Houston? Like, he's done with the nonsense. He moved on. And I think James Harden looked at it and said, and by the way, James, I didn't like the way he kind of bullied his way out of the team. I didn't love that, but... I don't
have a problem with him wanting to leave. I just didn't like the way that he handled it.
Right. I think we agree.
And there's ways to handle it where it can become contentious, but it doesn't have to be messy. And like right now, Deshaun Watson, it's contentious. I wouldn't describe that situation as messy yet. And I don't think that Deshaun Watson is the kind of person to make it messy. But James Harden did. And so I would not be surprised if there are some fans there. And they're fans. Like, that's their team.
Yeah.
And he was their guy. And not only did he want to leave, which does bother some fans, but it wasn't the sweetest send-off. So I don't know. I'm actually curious because I think that small of a sample size still can kind of represent Rockets fans' feelings about it. But even if he doesn't have the best reception when he comes in there tonight, it's... over time, fans always soften because, as you said yesterday, memories are stronger than reality. So over time, fans are going to look back on the Harden era and appreciate it. And they won't be as angry about it. Yeah. But he spent 8 seasons there.
He gave you almost a decade of really good basketball.
Yeah. Didn't win a championship, but that's hard to do.
I get along with my ex-wife. 2 great kids, 10 good years. Things didn't work out. Why boo? I don't boo her when I see her. Boo! Boo! Dropping the kids off. Boo!
Who does that?
I don't get it. If you give me 8, 10 good years, I'm good. We don't have to agree at the end.
Well, no, but you know, some people like to hold on to grudges and, you know, feel wronged. And if it doesn't turn out exactly the way that they planned.
Oh, victimization. I'm not in for it. If you have if you give me 8 years of your life and it's good, every producer I've ever had leaves me. I'm always like, good. You're good. You gave me about 6 years. Goulet's left me like four times. Still like him. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
That's just my magnanimous nature, you know? Joy at some point is going to be like, Seacrest out. I'm going to do better than this show. And I'll be just sitting here crying for a couple hours. Thanks for the good years. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Nick right now joins me, host of First Things First. So let's start with this. I'm a little upset with Gisele Bündchen, supermodel, because she said after Tom won the Super Bowl, Brady admitted, she came up and said, what do you have to prove? And I'm like, it's not about just that. Like, she's going to be a supermodel forever. She has nothing to prove. It's like, if you are great at something and you're well compensated, nobody's running the Rolling Stones off the stage. Nobody's running Metallica and Denzel off the stage.
Oh.
Why are we rushing to get rid of Brady, the greatest American patriot, the greatest American football hero?
Greatest American patriot. Okay. All right. Listen, there's two people in America that need to retire. Tom Brady and Colin Cowherd, and both for me. Tom Brady, because I'm sick of him, and Colin Cowherd, because I've been waiting for that seat for you talked about years together. I've been with you for 5 years. Just keep signing contract extensions. Yeah, I agree with Gisele. And unlike, listen, maybe, I don't think Denzel still does his own stunts. I don't, you know, the Rolling Stones, no one's hitting Mick Jagger with a guitar when he walks off the stage. I think Tom should really consider it. I think, I heard Tom's interview with James Corden, talked about throwing that trophy. That could have gone terribly for him. Walk off on a high note, Tom. I know nobody's talking about it, but the more, listen, I think Gisele Bündchen makes some really, really strong points. And I'm really... Once again, Colin, you ended last week's interview with a non-question question about Tom Brady, and you're starting this week's. There was no question there. It's just an excuse for you to make me watch these highlights again, which I don't want to watch. So can we please move on?
By the way, you see Nick's haircut today? Look how sharp Nick looks. He looks really good. Well, that's because his wife does that for a living, right?
Thanks.
She's all right. All right, so Joy and I laugh about Dak Prescott. It's the story that won't end. It's like that movie Gettysburg. It's like 7 hours. I'm like, could the story end with Dak? You have a belief on how the Dak Prescott thing is going to end. What is it?
Yeah, I don't know why it took me this long to have this epiphany, but Dak's not signing an extension. And he's not going to sign an extension because he shouldn't. So, Colin, here's the thing. From 2016 until 2022, do you know which NFL player has guaranteed himself the most money? It's Kirk Cousins. $192 million cash money Kirk Cousins will have been compensated from 2016 through 2022, unless the Vikings cut him in the next 20 days. If he's on the roster by, I think it's March 27th, next year's salary, meaning the 2022 salary, gets locked in fully guaranteed. And it's because he played the franchise tag game and won. And so once you get franchise tagged the one time at the quarterback position, if you can stomach it for the second time, you are just essentially guaranteed to be able to sign the perfect contract, which is what Cousins did the first time with the Vikings, and then he was able to parlay that into a second contract with the Vikings, both of which de facto fully guaranteed. So I don't think Dak's going to blink. I think Dak's going to say, you paid me $31 million last year, you're going to have to pay me $37 million this year, and then I'm going to be able to either sign with you or with anybody on my terms. And so I think the Cowboys misplayed this hand. I think they believed what, to be fair to them, I believed, which was right before last season, I thought Dak would blink. I thought right before last season, Dak would say, come on, like, all right, I'll take whatever the best last offer is. I need to get paid. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it 2 years ago. He didn't do it last year. And now I think he has all the leverage in the world to just say, franchise tag me, that's fine, and then I'm going to get a four-year, $160 million, fully guaranteed contract from somebody.
So yesterday I did something, and nothing ever gets, in fact, I predicted it on the show with Joy Taylor. I said, this won't be contextualized and people will not understand this. We were talking about Dak's contract, and I said, if you could pay people in order of what they're worth, and the worth would be on talent and then on value, because let's be honest, Bill Belichick let go of a lot of talented people. He never let go of super valuable people. There's a big difference. I've worked with a lot of people in my business who are talented. You get let go. Companies don't let go of valuable people. So I said, the Seahawks offense is so bad schematically, Seattle can't score without Russell. Brady wins you Super Bowls. We've watched the Packers without Aaron Rodgers. They can't win games. And Josh Allen, let's be honest, they were 20 years of nonsense. He's their best running back and their best quarterback. In the second tier, and I knew this would get people worked up, I put Mahomes. And here was my reasoning.
Yeah.
I said, he's more talented than all of them. But Andy Reid's won 13 playoff games without him. They beat the Vikings 2 years ago, a playoff team without him. They are so well coached. They have such good weapons. They would win games without him. They won the divisions without him. They just wouldn't win any Super Bowls. So his talent is an A+. But in terms of the franchise would be Titanic without him, no, they just wouldn't be special. And everybody looked at that and went, that is, I'm literally canceling you. And I thought, is that an outrageous opinion?
Yes, it's an outrageous opinion.
Okay.
And also, I really like what you did there, which is one of my favorite moves at the very beginning, which is, I'm being attacked for this opinion, not because it's a terrible one, but because people don't understand how brilliant it is. I go to that move a lot. It's not always correct. Sometimes it's, I'm being attacked for this opinion because the opinion's terrible. And you have recreated this Chiefs dynasty pre-Mahomes that didn't exist. In the Chiefs, from Joe Montana's retirement until the day Patrick Mahomes started his first game, the Chiefs won one playoff game. And it was against a Bill O'Brien coach team, so I don't know if it counts. They won one. Andy Reid, oh, he wins divisions. Well, yeah, and he won one playoff game with Alex Smith. A single, solitary playoff game. And somehow, you twisted the logic to where you could argue that Mahomes should be, if you were just doing it based on like salary, the Josh Allen thing, but if you're going to have Rodgers where he is, you cannot have Mahomes beneath him. So no, Colin, you were not attacked for this because it was, you know, you got unfairly edited on Twitter. You were attacked for this because it's wrong.
All right.
And I dare say, I think you need to issue an apology because I'm not for canceling people, but I think this is cancelable. I really do. I think it's such a bad opinion.
And finally, you are more stylish than me. I'm not real, you know. I'm an accountant who has a talk show. You know, I like business. You're bored to death with it. You've got a lot of flash and sizzle. You're the Zach Levine of talk show hosts. I'm the Chris Paul. But here's the thing. Chris Paul goes to Phoenix. They were a mess forever. Take LeBron out of the league. There's an argument to be made. The only people that show up on People magazine don't have their act together. They sell magazines. Don Cheadle and Ed Norton never end up on it. Chris Paul, similarly, we don't talk about him. He's not good on YouTube. He's not good on the highlights. Since Blake Griffin and him divorced, he's got 20 playoff wins. Blake's done nothing. When are people going to get Chris Paul? How is Phoenix now the second best team in the West? How? It's the same crappy roster. Couldn't win.
This is a good opinion. Dare I say a great opinion? This is why I would argue, and nobody agrees with me on this, that at the All-Star break, if we're doing MVPs, you have LeBron and Embiid battling for the top spot. If I had a ballot, Chris Paul would be third. Don't care what his stats say. Don't care that he averages in the low teens in points. This guy impacts winning as much as anyone in the league not named LeBron James.
Yeah.
You absolutely are correct. The gaudy numbers are not there. But he understands how to control games. He understands how to help get the most out of his teammates. He is as good at the end of games as anybody. Look, Oklahoma City last year was supposed to be tanking.
Yeah.
He dragged them to the postseason. Everyone was in love with the Suns because they went 8-0 in the bubble. They were so bad last year that they went 8-0 in the bubble and didn't even make the play-in game because their record pre-bubble was so egregious. He is the difference. So this, I 1,000% agree with you on. I think you can make the argument he is the second greatest truly small guy in NBA history,
yeah,
behind only the original Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
And by the way, there are a lot of similarities to him and Zeke, which is the numbers don't show you their true impact and control of a basketball game. So on the Chris Paul thing, I 1,000% agree with you. I don't know why Zach LaVine and I got drive-by'd on that, but I'll set that aside. I agree with you 1,000% on Chris Paul.
The minute that came out of my mouth, I felt terrible. Because Zach LaVine's from the Northwest, so I always kind of root for him, and you're my friend. That was kind of a terrible thing to say. Yeah, you're talking extemporaneously, and sometimes stuff comes out you feel bad about.
It happens. It's 5 years, by the way. When you're talking about people being with you, I thought about this. April, coming up April, it's me and my wife's, I should know this, 8th-year anniversary, but it's your and my 5-year anniversary. How about that?
You mean you've coming on
the
show?
You're never going to boo me.
Boo!
Yeah, you and I. 5 years in April. Yeah.
Wow, that's something.
I'm not leaving you, and you're not booing me. That's okay. Something. It's something. I don't know what it is, but it's something. I'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy. Nick Wright, first things first. So I had a terrible opinion and a good one. Yeah, both. That's what this show is. A little bit of
3 hours of talking a day.
Coming up next, Jets put a for sale sign up. New York Jets control the draft, put a for sale sign up. Talk about that next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So a report came out Sunday, ESPN, that the Jets were reportedly, and this word's important, intrigued by BYU quarterback Zach Wilson. Intrigued is a key word, because intrigued means we're considering it, but we're not sure yet. I'll get to back to that in a second. So the Jets essentially put the house for sale, but you're not sure which house, the Sam Darnold house or the number 2 pick house. That's why they use the word intrigued. It's very ambiguous. It could go many different ways. So when I saw the story, my takeaway was they were first softening the blow for Darnold and his agent. Hey, guys, we're going to move off you. Here's a little heads up. Soften the blow before it happens or trade talk starts. It was also, in my opinion, when I saw the we're intrigued with Kyle Wilson, it was telling the Bears, the 49ers, and the Washington football team, call us and make an offer for Sam Darnold. Now, there may be part of this, because they're probably 90-10 or 80-20 with Zach Wilson, where they're telling Denver, Philadelphia, and Carolina, why don't you make us an offer for the number 2 pick? You need a quarterback. Maybe we'll listen there. This is putting the for sale sign up. You're just not telling everybody quite what's up for sale. And then today, these stories leaked. Now it's official. Now they're telling you what's for sale. Joe Douglas, the Jets general manager, according to Ian Rappaport, tells reporters he will answer calls pertaining to potentially trading Sam Darnold. Brian Costello, New York Post, covers the Jets. Douglas says he'll answer calls about Sam, This is a departure from his stance last year in October that he said he was untouchable. So Sunday, they put the for sale sign up. Are they selling the two pick? Are they selling Darnold? And today they made it official. They are moving off Sam Darnold. It's probably 90-10, you know, 80-20. If they don't get a good deal, maybe they move off it. If somebody like Carolina steps up and gives them the moon, but they're going to move off Sam Darnold. I've said this before. If I was, I have my questions about Zach Wilson. He looks skinny. I didn't see him beat any good teams in college, but, you know, either did Josh Allen. I trust my eyes. He doesn't look like a guy that's going to take over the league, but, you know, what do I know? Trevor Lawrence does. Josh Allen does. Herbert this year did. They did a big, strong move. Big Ben in his prime did. Like, there's guys that they looked apart. You're just like, oh, yeah, that guy could take over the league. You know, Deshaun Watson has moments. You're like, that guy should be winning, you know, a lot of playoff games. So, I will say this is that I kind of felt they would move off Darnold. And the reason was simple is that new GM wants his quarterback and new coach wants his quarterback. And in the end, and I think this happens a lot, you just want a fresh start. I mean, you know, you move to a new house and you just want to buy some new furniture. You want it to feel like a new place, even though you may not need everything. You're like, you know, let's get a new couch, and let's kind of redo a bathroom. You want to make it your own. Joe Douglas wants to make the team his own, and Robert Saleh, the head coach, wants to make the team his own, and so they're going to move off Sam Darnold. And I'll say it again: John Lynch of the Niners, I know, likes him. Chicago has Nick Foles. Washington, this is what I talked about a month ago. He feels like a tough guy, very much a Ron Rivera fit. So Sam Darnold, he's the house for sale. Make your calls. Joe Douglas now telling multiple reporters, we will take your calls. Good stuff. Another move. Could be quick. Hour 2, live in LA. The Herd, next.